Underwood, Thin Ice! To smoke some weed and shut up. My God.
Oh, I thought for sure. There it is. Boom! Yes!
All right. Line of Basketball Podcast, episode 204. March.
It is 3rd, March.
March 3rd, 2024. By the way, Goodman stealing Rothstein's March thing. That's messed up. And you know what else? He also did it at 11:59. That's not March. 11:59 is February 29th, not March. Nice try. I cannot see anything.
Nice shades, bro, Schlagboy says.
Yeah, we're going to switch here in a minute. I can't see a thing. Illinois, armchairliner.com. You can check them out, all that stuff. 204. Hold on one second. Here we go. Illinois coming off of a win yesterday, winning at Wisconsin for the fourth time in a row. And, I think that we kind of know that Illinois completely owns these bozos.
Yeah, fourth win in a row. First team to ever do that at the Kohl Center. So
it's good. I wonder how much that says about the post-Bo Ryan Wisconsin teams.
Yeah,
because even the Johnny Davis year, they weren't that good. Like, they co-won the Big Ten with Illinois, but were they really that good?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The offense, in fact, showed up unlike I thought. So I apologize to everybody that I picked Illinois to lose this game. They closed it out. They made their free throws. They didn't turn the ball over against the press. That's what you got to do to win on the road. So this episode, my son wants to go to the golf range, driving range. Ethan, we got to do our March Madness after this. So we're going to go through this. We might get to all the comments. I don't know. But we're going to try to do it a little quicker. So,
we're mailing it in. Basically.
Butzilla, what's up? Hinkle, he says, who do you start Tuesday if you honestly want to give your team the best opportunity to not fall into a hole early? I think that you still keep the same lineup. I don't think you start Harmon. You can pull Ty 2 minutes in if you need to. So that's my thought. So Harmon's been really good, yeah. Player of the game, Marcus Dimask, went back to Wisconsin and dominated those bums. 35 minutes, 31 points, 12 for 21 shooting, 4 of 6 from 3, 3 for 4 from the line, 8 rebounds, team leader in that, 3 assists, also the leader in that, 1 block, 1 turnover for him. They said going into this game, he was shooting 35% from 3 in Big Ten play. So I did the math, and he is 39.4% now from 3 in Big Ten play. And that's including the game on December 2nd against Rutgers, where he went 1 of 4. If you take that out, he's over 40% from 3. So Damascus finding his shot. He was really good in this game. So I will admit, I text you and I said, I don't know if I like the Damask Wall matchup, because it seemed like Wall was getting the better of him the start of the second half. But Damask definitely got more production than I thought he was going to do. So
Damask now has, he had 2 games this season with 3 threes. This is his first game with 4. He's up to 29.1% for the season, which kind of tells you how bad he was before that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, this team, if Shannon and Damask are playing like this, I don't think that you can beat them. And honestly, I don't know how Wisconsin scored 83. I thought, defensively, I thought Illinois did a pretty good job. I mean, they did make, 3 threes when it didn't really matter, I guess. So
yeah. Yeah, that's true. The late one that was hit by Ilver, I don't even know who that guy is. Or was that him? Somebody hit one late. I don't know.
Yeah. Hepburn hit one too.
Yeah. Damask 39% from 3 in conference play. Don't have to do math. It's on KenPom. I don't pay for KenPom, and Ethan didn't tell me before we started. So Underwood said on Damask, quote, I thought Marcus handled his return back to the state in a way that was unique. Most of the time it doesn't go that way. He did it against an elite defender in Tyler Wall.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like I said, I was kind of worried about that matchup, but Damask is just, he's got such good footwork. He had another patented fadeaway late in the game that Illinois really needed. He was elite, more elite than Tyler Wall this game. Underwood also said, quote, he's basically our full-time point guard now. So rip Ty. And his skill set, I've not been around a player who spends more time. He gets three workouts a day in. One of those includes our practices. He is ridiculously committed to the game of basketball and his success.
I think Underwood found white Jalen Pickett.
Yeah.
The way he plays. Yeah. I don't know if he's quite as good when it comes to playmaking.
Yeah.
But he does a lot of the similar things.
Yeah. He sent me that tweet from Ant Wright, and I thought that was perfect. He said that Underwood basically took the thing that drove him nuts last year in booty ball and turned it into his offense. So, Schlagboy says, live by the three. Coy says this team does not explicitly live by the three. They definitely didn't this game. They say they will need to. Something about Purdue, you got to make threes. Number two offense in the country with being an average three-point shooting team.
I don't know if they're
average.
Yeah, I mean, being top 100, I don't know. I mean, they're shooting 35%. It's fine.
Yeah. All right. On to the starters. Sorry, I'm kind of out of it too. Terrence Shannon, 38 minutes, 23 points, 6 for 13 from the field, 3 for 6 from 3, 8 for 9 from the line, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 turnover. I think that was Chucky poking it out from behind, if I remember right, was his only turnover. I think that he did a great job on Store defensively, held Store to 13 points on 4 of 12 shooting. And I didn't know this. Apparently, there's rumblings. AJ Store already wants out of Wisconsin, which is interesting. Think Illinois goes after him?
No.
Okay. All right. Underwood said, quote, I thought Terrence did a great job on AJ, 4 of 12, and didn't get off a three. A nice game on the defensive side for us. And offensively, we just kind of found our way. He did run some plays for Terrence Shannon in the second half. Terrence got fouled on one of the mid-range jumpers. And then I believe he made the second one. He was running like double down ball screens or off ball screens for him. So, yeah, Terrence, you know, best open court guy in the league still. And he's doing other things now too. So,
he kind of showed, I think he kind of showed AJ Store what's what, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's one. I mean, one of the plays that Store scored on was getting by Shannon, but it was in the corner. I don't remember. I had words to say. I just don't
remember. Yeah, AJ was in the corner, left side, and I think that Terrence kind of tried to go after the ball and just got his footing wrong. AJ went baseline, easy basket. But other than that, he kept him in front of him most of the time. Store did have that back cut lob to him from Wall. But, yeah, I thought he was great defensively. Coleman, 37 minutes, 13 points, 4 of 9. Only took 1 3, which I was shocked. I texted you, it was the only one he made, only one he took. So 4-4 from line, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 blocks, 0 turnovers again for Coleman, which is fantastic.
He's shooting 41.5% from 3 in conference play.
That's pretty good. What's Shannon in conference play?
Ooh, I don't want to look.
Okay.
30%?
Okay.
33%?
Thought maybe it was a bit more than that, but
he's 35.7 for the year.
He's been shooting it well lately. So Underwood said, quote, the one thing with Coleman, he was asked about Crowell and if they try to get guys in foul trouble, and Underwood basically said no. But he said, quote, the one thing that Coleman is we have the one thing with Coleman is we have the ability to play in space. You know, Coleman is one of the top 3-point shooters in the league. And I thought Wisconsin was pretty effective in not giving him those, but he's also proven to be pretty effective in playing booty ball as well. I think some unfortunate calls on Crowell just kind of tough night for him. We don't do that a lot. So, Koi says Wisconsin got away with a lot of moving screens to free up Store. That's college basketball, I guess. Yeah, I think the refs were atrocious both ways in this game. It maybe benefited Illinois a little bit more. I don't recall completely, but yeah, the officiating just the second half officiating is out of control right now. Both teams were in the double bonus with 10 minutes left. Is that right? Or they were both in the bonus. I can't remember.
At least the bonus.
Yeah. Quincy, 27 minutes, 7 points for him, 2 for 3, 1 for 2 from 3, 2 for 4 from the line, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 turnovers for him. One was the outlet pass to Damask. Not a great pass when you get a stop, but he did steal the ball right back, got it back for Illinois. So I thought out of everybody that defended Tyler Wall that Quincy did the best job. Luke Goody was absolutely atrocious on him. I just thought Quincy's defense down the stretch against Wall was a big factor in this. Illinois, of course, you know, gives up some offensive rebounds when they go in double, which needs to be cleaned up. The rotations onto the big need to get better because Crowell, luckily, he didn't play that much, but he had a couple of those weak side rebounds, putbacks. So. He did miss the 2 free throws down the stretch, and then he got fouled again, knocked them both down. So you like to see that stretch the lead to 5 at that point. So Bootsilla says it's like the refs feel they have to catch up on the foul calls in the second half. Got to meet the quota or they don't get their bonuses. Yeah, I don't know what it is with the Big Ten, but it seems like it goes that way every time.
I'd say it's more of a consistency issue than a volume issue at this point. Like, there's zero consistency in anything they're calling.
Yeah. Yeah. Lazy Forrest Gump, what's going on? I get it's hard to watch all the fouls, but I think it will help the conference in the tournament. We are so used to being able to be physical for 20-plus games, then the refs are tougher in the big dance. Yeah, I mean, it's a good way to look at it, I guess. Ty, 20 minutes, 3 points, 1 for 3. He was 1 for 3 from the line. And that's all he did. No rebounds, no assists, no nothing.
So good game.
It was a game for him. Good you game. You told me to, to check his tape, his defensive tape. So I got that here. I'll go over it with you guys. It's rightly labeled Ty Rogers D. So he started on Hepburn. He immediately doesn't fight through a screen. Help comes from Hawkins, which leaves Crowell wide open for a 3. Luckily, Crowell missed it. At 17:42, he got back cut by Chucky. Luckily, Chucky caught it and then threw it away. He went to the bench from 15:30 to the 8-minute mark. There was nothing from 8 minutes to 3 minutes, so maybe he had some good defensive plays. The only thing about watching recaps is they only show scoring plays. So I think that he was on Blackwell for most of that time from what I saw. He was benched from 3 minutes to close out the half. He started on Chucky again in the second half, and then he moved over to Klesmet at 17 minutes. He gets blown by for an easy layup. The screen was on his left, and Ty leaned into it. Klesmet went right around him the other way, didn't even use the screen. He goes out at the 14-minute mark, comes back at 11 minutes. At 10:30, he's guarding Wall 25 feet from the basket, gets beat on the dribble by Wall. He recovers with Coleman's help, and there was a phantom foul call. At 6 minutes, Klesmet gets straight to the lane, and he gets benched. So Ty Rogers' defense. He was supposed to be a dog with Sincere, and right now it's not looking great. He gets on guards' hips so much that it hurts. Luckily, he's long enough that he can get some blocks from behind, but I don't know. He's got to play some better defense because offensively, I mean, he's a 3 to 7 point guy. So. And so I assume that's why Hinkle asked that question. I still think you start him. He's obviously not your point guard anymore, according to Brad Underwood. So I think you start him. He, you know, gets, he's, I think he's the best when a five is guarding him because it kind of opens up the lane too. So off the bench, Harmon, 23 minutes, 10 points, 3 for 5, 0 for 1 from 3. He was 4 for 4 from the line, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block. He had the patented Harmon catch it in the corner, kind of jump hook layup. Wagner called it awkward in the interview with him, which I thought was interesting. Harmon said, quote, "It's just instinct in the left corner. It's just so easy to drive to the middle." So that's why he's so good at doing it. He's only missed 4 free throws this year, shooting at 90%, 38 for 42. So definitely a guy you need at the end game. Just not the guy you want inbounding the ball, I believe. He was inbounding the ball, and then they called timeout. Damask then inbounded the ball. I think he got to stick with that. Illinois still undefeated when Harmon scores 10 or more, which is good. He was asked about the early run Wisconsin had. He said, quote, "We knew they would make a run early. We just needed to weather the storm. We just stayed connected." Brad was asked about Harmon's limited use and or limited minutes and how he's plus 10, plus 12 usually when he plays. Underwood said, quote, "I don't think 22 minutes is limited. I think it's a pretty good chunk, but he's been valuable. You guys that know me locally know how important the sixth man is in finding that piece."
No, we don't. Harmon did not shoot above. He was below 80% in both years at Utah Valley. He'd taken more, obviously, but
from the line.
Yeah, his first year at Utah Valley, he was 77% on 85 attempts, and last year 72% on 128. So, plus he's shooting 35% from three. So he's kind of become a more efficient player offensively this year at a higher level than last year. So I think that's a big part of why he's been an impact transfer. And I think all the transfers have had a decent impact. I mean, you look at the similar stat lines and numbers and efficiency and metrics for Harmon, according to KenPom. A comparison is Malachi Smith from Gonzaga last year, his season at Gonzaga. So, which, you know, looking at the numbers, that does track pretty well. He's not the star, quote unquote, numbers wise that he was where Malachi Smith was at Chattanooga and then Harmon, you know. So I think that's a good type of player to have.
Yeah, and there was a big play where Damask got doubled, and instead of Harmon standing behind the three-point line, made a nice cut, Damask fed it off to him, got an easy layup. So need to continue doing that stuff, especially when Damask gets doubled. You can't just stand behind the three-point line hoping he can find you. So, Steve, what's going on? Scheidweiner says, "Is Ty's offense regressing?" I mean, I don't know how much of an offensive threat Ty is. They tried to do a little booty ball with him against smaller guys yesterday. But I mean, I think Ty is just, that's what he gives you. So Coy says, "Think Ty will have things easier guarding threes next year. Damask gets the easier matchups every game, and that makes life hard on Ty." That's true. I mean, should Ty be guarding the smallest guard that can be quick? The only thing is, he let Klesmet do it too. That worries me a little bit. Lazy Forrest Gump, "I think we need to foul Edie as soon as he touches the ball and post, make him make 30 free throws against us." Hinkle, "Ty can't get anything against Edie like he can against other bigs. Maybe he can guard Jones. No way he gets the Smith assignment." Who do you think's guarding Braden Smith?
Shannon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, he would have to. Dane Danger, Jeffrey, I haven't seen him. Hopefully he's not here because we're trying to make this episode a little shorter. 10 minutes, 1 for 1, 2 for 2 from the line, 4 points, 2 rebounds, 3 turnovers for Dane. Got a little squirrely with the ball a few times. His minutes weren't great, but with Crowell in foul trouble, I don't think that you needed him as much. And I think Illinois needs to feed the post earlier. I think that Dane was open a few times with the mismatches. Wall was guarding Damask, I believe, on one of them. Damask couldn't find a way to get it to him. I think the problem is, do you think they ever practice entry passes? Because they don't do it. They don't pass the ball. Brad Underwood has said multiple times, once, that we don't pass the ball.
Was it an issue when Kofi was here? Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
It was. You're right.
So, yeah, it was an issue with Benjamin Bosman's Verdonk, too.
That's true. Koi says, Klesmet's been kind of nasty at times this year. Yeah, Klesmet's had a pretty good season. Hits mid-range jumpers. So, yeah. But getting beat off the dribble when you're leaning into a screen and the guy doesn't even use it is – that's stuff you can't do. What's going on, Eric? How you doing today? Other two guys, Goody had 5 minutes, one rebound, one foul. Like I said, he wasn't good when he was in because they put him on a wall. His matchups are just tough sometimes, it seems like. So Moretti played 5 minutes, went 0-for-1, had a turnover. I do think that he got to the rim nicely on the shot he took, just didn't fall. But yeah, Hansberry didn't play this game, which I was kind of surprised. I guess you didn't need him as much, again, with Crowell being out. So, but other notes and quotes, Illinois split was 52, 56, 80, 9-for-16 from three. Take that every game. And 24-for-30 from the line.
You know, I'll say this. This offense is pretty sick, you know?
Seems to be pretty good.
I feel like we should appreciate this offense as much as possible. Not us, because we've been doing it, but all these fans out there as well.
Yeah.
Jeffrey. Yeah. Crying about the offense. Oh, yeah. We don't get danger involved enough. Oh, we don't use the post enough. Oh, they made 22s in this game. They were 50%, which is below the season average, probably because, Damask was taking a higher volume of twos than he might normally, even though, yeah. I mean, it wasn't that much more. He took what? 15 twos. I mean, that's not that abnormal.
No.
So this is like the greatest offense Brad's ever coached. And I hope he says that someday, because I think that he even knows that Oklahoma State offense was not as good as this one.
Yeah. Yeah. This offense has been fun to watch. Score 80 plus every game. Defense, you know, it wasn't bad this game, but getting up 83 to a team that averages like 72 is bit tough. They got out rebounded 32-31, pretty close though. So both teams had 8 turnovers. Again, 4 straight win at Kohl Center, first team to ever do it. Underwood said, quote, "This is such a great program, and it has been for so long. I may be wrong, but I don't think we're halfway there to what Wisconsin streak was against us. So we still have a lot of catching up to do. Some teams, you just kind of play well, and I think our guys get up to play Wisconsin. Not trying to make light of anything. It's quite a feat."
It's because Underwood saw my post on Facebook from February 2019 that said Wisconsin's dirty, bunch of bums, losers, and we'll get them next time. And Illinois has not lost to Wisconsin since I posted that. So thank you to me. We've also reached the fire Greg Gard portion of the 2023-24 Wisconsin season, which, you know, I feel like 3 or 4 years in a row now, it's like they look good and then they start to fade away towards the end of the season, and then it's fire Gard. Last year they were 11-2, 3-0 in the Big Ten, and before you knew it, by mid-February they were 14-10, 6-8 in the Big Ten. They didn't make the tournament. The year before that, they obviously had the team that won the Big Ten co-regular season with Illinois, but guess what? They finished the year losing by one at Nebraska, or home against Nebraska by one, which gave Illinois the other half of the title. They lost in the Big Ten tournament to Michigan State. They beat Colgate in the first round by 7 and then scored 49 points and lost to Iowa State in the second round. You go back to 2021, they were 10-2, 4-1 in the Big Ten. Let's get even better. They were 13-4, 7-3 in the Big Ten, and they finished 16-11, 10-10 in the Big Ten. Like, I think Greg Gard's a fine coach, but this is like the same thing every year with them.
Yeah.
He's no Bo Ryan, I'll tell you that.
This year, I mean, I think everybody kind of knew the beginning of their conference schedule was weak, but I don't think anybody saw them losing to Michigan with the way Michigan was playing. Some other losses are kind of baffling. So,
I mean, they beat Marquette by 11. They beat Michigan State in East Lansing in early December by 13. They beat a decent SMU team by 8, but like other than that, it's like, you know, they lose to Penn State, they lose to Nebraska, they lose to Michigan, Rutgers. They got destroyed by Rutgers, which is very hard to do. Giving up 78 points to Rutgers is not easy to do. Like, Rutgers offensively is a joke, and Wisconsin offensively, it's like I don't know what, like, it just doesn't seem like they're a team, you know?
Yeah.
They're 284th in assists per field goals made, which I don't think is an indicator of that. But you just watch them. It's like,
Yeah, and that's – Wisconsin's usually – I mean, they're that – you know, we talk about connectivity or whatever, and this team just doesn't seem that. And I don't know if that's – you know, A.J. Storr doesn't fit Greg Gard's style as much as, you know, most guys that he gets or what, but – It's interesting. Forrest Gump says, anyone who complains about the offense obviously don't remember the end of the Weber or the entire Gross era. Coy says, Greg Gard is just Paul Christ. Hand-selected by previous coach, good but not great, and a slow descent as a program. I think Wisconsin's descending.
Yeah.
Adam, what's going on? Big difference with this offense is there are never real long droughts. Even 04-05 would have 5 to 6 minutes. Even with defensive liabilities, it's tough to put up 85 plus to beat us. Yeah, I think there were like 2-3 minute droughts in this game.
They had 5 points in the first like six or 7 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, nothing like last year where they went like 10 minutes without a basket. So Eric says, at the beginning of the game, I didn't think they had a chance even to get to 80, but again, at the end of the game, they have 90 points. What a great offense. Yeah, Coleman Hawkins apparently wanted to drop 90 on Wisconsin because nobody really knows why he went to the basket at the end of the game, but that's Coleman Hawkins. You love him if he's on your team. You hate him if you're a Purdue and Maryland fan, I guess. So, Forrest Gump, not saying they are the best team in the Big Ten, but every time I watch Purdue, they look beatable.
Not saying they're not the best team in the Big Ten.
Yeah, whatever that says.
You clearly don't know how to read. Here's why they're descending. 2011, so Bo Ryan's still there. Sweet 16, Sweet 16. 13 was a round one, whatever. 14, Final Four. 2015, runner-up. 16, Gard takes over. They go Sweet 16, Sweet 16. Missed the tournament, first round. Would have made the tournament in 2020. Second round loss. Missed the tournament. And this year they're going to be like, what, a six seed probably because of their wins. And that's if you are a team that plays in Dayton and you end up playing Wisconsin as an 11 seed, you got to feel pretty good about that.
It's true. I think Rothstein was talking like the 1st of February about this, about Wisconsin being a one seed. So,
yeah, Wisconsin.
That would be a descent.
6-7 in quad 1, 6-4 in quad 2. That's why they're going to end up getting like a 5 or 6, maybe 7 seed. Illinois is 5-5, 5-2 between the two. So, I mean, you look at the opportunities. Wisconsin, you know, that's 23 games against quads 1 and quad 2. Illinois only has 17. So,
yeah. Hinkle says, I was fine with Coleman's move to close out getting to 90 and winning margin helps the net. I get it, but
why would anybody carry their way? Like, if you're Wisconsin, maybe try to beat them next time.
Forrest Gump says, Coleman went to avoid the turnover at the end. All about the metrics. The three was like a 0.8 clock difference. Hinkle, but then of course they immediately gave up a layup. There you go.
I'd say the 10-point win matters more than getting to 90, but either way,
whatever. Underwood, I got two more from his post game. He said, quote, we did a nice job at handling the emotion before the game. They had a tribute, Coach Howard. Is that right?
Howard Moore.
First time back at Kohl Center since his wreck that took his wife and child. So there are a lot of tears there. Brad continued, took us a little bit. I thought Terrence really settled us down a stretch in our defense. I think we had a sequence where we had 7 or 8 straight stops in that time frame, and that got us back in it. Excited for the win, and we beat a really, really good team that is going to have an opportunity to make a deep run in the tournament. A little coach speak for you. And then he said, quote, "I think we are healthier, so we are practicing better. Amani didn't get in the game today, but that wasn't anticipated. I anticipated playing him. We are finding a place after Terrence was away, finding the right comfort. I think we are realizing how to use Dane. I think we're very comfortable in the cross match now that people throw at us. March is the time to hopefully get it all figured out and continue playing for a while."
Yeah, definitely.
Shot clock was running down. Coleman did a good job. I think there's like 0.8 seconds difference, but that's fine. I don't mind it. I just, it's just what programs are going to say. You know how people are. Happy Hermit says DGL looked pretty happy after the game in the locker room. Some were speculating he was unhappy about the lack of playing time. Yeah, I saw the video. I don't know if he was being a smartass and trying to, you know, imitate Brad Underwood's fist pump, or if he was just having a good time. Yeah, I mean, it kind of looked, he, like, when Brad turned around, he kind of had this, like, oh, shit, he saw me face. So
I don't think that we should analyze a locker room celebration.
Yeah, they're having a good time. I mean, who doesn't like winning? Hinkle says, thoughts on Purdue celebrating a now guaranteed chair of the Big Ten championship yesterday, trophy presentation and all, makes me irrationally annoyed.
How do you get irrationally annoyed at that? Who cares? Who do they play in their last game? They're probably going to win if they don't beat Illinois.
They play Wisconsin.
They're going to win. Yeah, please.
So,
also, none of this matters.
Steve says this style will really help recruiting. I agree. I mean, letting guys, you know.
Look at Alabama.
But, yeah, good win at Wisconsin. Got Purdue coming for senior night. So,
look at Alabama.
I don't want to.
Alabama, not a basketball powerhouse at all. They're still not, but, like, Nato gets there. They had Miller last year. They've had a ton of recruits and portal stuff. And they play that high-flying style, that no-defense, all-offense style.
Yeah.
Didn't work yesterday, but, you know, it's a tough yeah. game.
Guys love it. There's no doubt about that. Guys want to score.
The teams that are like that are Alabama, Illinois, Baylor, and Kentucky. So,
yeah.
That's how you do it. That's how it's done.
Kentucky, first 100. See what you got.
Yeah, that – Ant Wright's tweet about Illinois possibly playing Kentucky in the tournament. I think I agree with him now that I think about it.
Illinois dominate them?
They're so much older. Like, it's just, it's different. You know, Kentucky gave up like 100 to Arkansas yesterday.
Yeah.
Arkansas yeah. terrible.
I agree. Yep.
All right. Illinois, Tuesday night, senior night, Purdue. Illinois is probably going to be number 10 in the poll tomorrow, if I had to guess. Just a wild guess there.
I hope not. I'd rather be 11.
They might get to 9. Who knows? 22-7. Probably not. Probably going to be number 10. 13-5 in the Big Ten. Purdue's number 2. They're 26-3, 15-3 in the Big Ten. Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, Peacock. I think Purdue's good. So is Illinois, folks. Watch out. Purdue clinched Big Ten regular season title share or whatever. I mean, who cares?
Yeah.
With the win over Michigan State last night, Purdue's been the best. Probably the best Big Ten program in the Big Ten play over the last 4 years. And I would say Illinois is probably second. So these are kind of the two, you know, big programs going right now in terms of, you know, being good in conference play. I mean, you look at 2021 Purdue 13-6 in the Big Ten, 2022 Purdue 14-6, 2023 Purdue 15-5, and they're 15-3 this year. If you compare that to Illinois, obviously, 16-4 in 2021, 15-5 in 2022, 11-9 last year, what a disgrace, and 13-5 now. these two teams played each other in January, January 5th. No Terrence Shannon in that game. Illinois lost 83-78. Illinois 46 points, outscored Purdue by 10 in the second half to lose by 5, so they're down 15 at the half. Damask ended up, you know, kind of a weird quiet game it felt like, but then you look up and he's got 26, 3, and 5 in this game. Quincy had 18, Goody had 16, Hawkins at 11. Same say Illinois was a completely different team.
Yeah.
In January, even though they, you know, still had the 11-3 record, but
Goody started the game against Purdue.
Played 35 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. He's really good though.
Yeah. And obviously the tie game where he didn't do anything and everyone's freaking out. But Purdue's lineup in their game against Michigan State last night. Braden Smith had 23, 9 rebounds, 3 assists. Purdue shot 10 of 20 from 3 in that game. Edie had 32, 11, and 4 with 2 blocks.
And 1 chokehold. Good for him.
Yep. 20 free throw attempts, made 14. They got Lawyer, 4 for 6 from 3 in that game, 15 points. Lance Jones had 1 point in this game. He was 0 for 6 from the field. Trey Kaufman-Rinn, who destroyed Illinois in the first game, had 2 points and 3 rebounds. And they got 7 from Gillis off the bench. So a pretty close game. Michigan State keeping it within 6 is pretty good, especially when Hogard goes 3 for 13 in that game. And then classic Izzo. I don't know what the hell he's doing with Xavier Booker. Xavier Booker, 11 points in 13 minutes. I think he's a plus 10. Like, how is he playing 13 minutes?
I don't know.
Their rotations are a disaster. It's no wonder they're 9-9 in the Big Ten.
It really feels like he's doing it just to stick it to the media asking all the time, which is crazy. I don't know.
Sissoko's 6 minutes in that game. Stupid. KenPom, I didn't write anything down, but you know, you could just throw the numbers out there. Purdue's 2nd in efficiency on offense, Illinois 3rd. Purdue's 22nd in defense, Illinois 102nd. So, you know, not great. I think Illinois defensively, 3 of the last 4, maybe 2 of the last 3, I think they've been okay. I know the point totals might not reflect that, but
yeah, you know. I think they've been they're like 270 since start of February defense.
Yeah.
It's not great, but
3-point percentage Purdue 2nd, Illinois is 98th. 2-point percentage Illinois is 30th, Purdue 48th. And then free throw shooting, Edie kind of tanks this for Purdue. They're 72%, 187th, Illinois 74.3%, 85th in the country. Assists per field goals made a big gap here. Illinois is a 313th at 44.4 and Purdue 6th at 62.9. Purdue gets 21.4% of their points from free throws, which is not a surprise. 61st in the country. Illinois 20.3%, 114th. All the good Big Ten teams are somewhere in that range anyway of, you know, 20-plus percent of that. Illinois 8th in average height, Purdue's 44th, so take that. Experience, Illinois 10th. Purdue is 67th, take that. And then bench minutes, Illinois 30.7%, it's 183rd, and Purdue 29.4%, that's 213th. Take that. And then Illinois gets 30.5% of their points from threes, and Purdue gets 30.2, so take that as well. And then turnover percentage, both of these teams do not force turnovers. Illinois is 359th in forcing turnovers, 12.6%, and Purdue's 338th, 14%. I almost wonder if this is a Big Ten thing where Big Ten teams aren't turning the ball over.
They're not turning it over, or teams aren't playing defense to turn them over?
Wisconsin is 49th in turnover percentage on offense. Minnesota, they pass it more than anybody, so they're not a surprise they're 198th. Iowa is 5th. Penn State is 85th, solid. Maryland is terrible, so they're 204th. Michigan is awful. They're 266. So, like, I think, like, 1 through 8 in the Big Ten for the most part doesn't seem to turn the ball over very much. Like, Michigan State's 35th and Northwestern is 7th. So, yeah, that's, like, you know, outside of the bottom feeders, the Big Ten is not a conference that it – I mean, guard play, it matches up how good the guards are. But, players to watch.
RJ says, what would it take to bet the under this game? Like, 190 probably. Illini spent a lot of energy on offense, so not enough left for D. I hope that's not true. Hinkle says 12 Illinois jumps Kansas, maybe Auburn. Baylor jumps Illinois. What actually matters and is the 3 seed is looking bleak after yesterday. Teams in front of us haven't been slipping. 4 seed almost a lock. No Big Ten respect. Players to watch. I went with Luke Goody. I think that Luke matches up with Purdue good enough that, you know, there's guys that he can defend on their team. He had 16 points on 5-11 shooting in the first matchup, went 4-8 from three. So we'll see if we get that Luke Goody. We'll see if he plays more than 5 minutes. I don't know, but going to have to hit some threes against Purdue to keep up, I think. And then I went with Fletcher Lawyer. I think this might be the same two guys I went with the first time they matched up. I didn't really go back and look, but Lawyer's been struggling from three, 10.8% over the last six games. He didn't even take a three in one of those games, but he went 4-6 yesterday. You can't let him get hot. You can't really let any of the Purdue guards get hot, Jones included. I think that if you can keep them off the three-point line, let Edie, you know, get what he's going to get, be all right. So,
Yep.
I know you're not even listening to me, so.
Totally agree with you, no doubt. going Terrence Shannon Jr., I'm curious to see how Shannon playing changes the dynamic of the matchup between the two. And then Trey Kaufman, who had like 20 and 12 against Illinois the first game.
Yeah.
See how Illinois defends him there. Predictions.
I got Illinois skanking one out on senior night. Everybody but Ty Rogers that starts is going to be participating in that, I believe. Unless Harmon starts because it's senior night. Hinkle might have a point there. I don't know. Do they do that in college like they do in high school? Anyways, Illinois is going to win this one 88-85. Send these guys out in style. Have a chance at a share of the Big Ten. Not that we care about that as much. I think Illinois has locked up the two seed, I believe, even if they lose the next two. I don't know. Northwestern's 11-7 right now. So playing Friday night, probably, which sucks for me. So,
yeah, Illinois is going to lose 87-86.
buzzer beater on 87-86?
Sure, yeah, sure, why not? I don't know. Who makes it?
Zach Edey, full court pass?
Yeah, definitely, yes. Easily.
Okay. How many do you think how many points do you think Gillis has this game?
36.
Holy shit. All right, on to that, Reed.
11 of 12 from three. And then three from the free throw line.
Guys, I told you to be quick.
Yep.
Here we go. Do you want to talk about the Big Ten, around the Big Ten at all?
No.
All right. As always, we want to thank Alamo Steakhouse and Saloon at 700 East Broadway Avenue in Mattoon, Illinois. You can find them online at www.alamo-steakhouse.com. March specials are here. It is March, maybe the greatest month in, you know, the whole year, because my birthday and March Madness, that is. The specials, the featured special is a Reuben sandwich, and the featured dessert is a pistachio almond cake, which is honey syrup soaked layers of vanilla chiffon cake with a pistachio almond mousse. Yummy. If you guys would like to be a sponsor for our episodes or our watch parties, we doing a watch party Tuesday.
We'll see what happens. Probably. Yeah.
We're definitely doing a watch party Tuesday. Reach out to us on Twitter or email us at IlliniBasketballPodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget, like, subscribe, share, comment, leave a review. Still on that push to 500. I think we're 20 some away or whatever. So, what you guys got in the chats? Northwestern would have the tiebreaker based on the better record against Purdue. Okay. So we might be a three seed. I'll take it.
Northwestern is two games behind Illinois.
Yeah. They would have to win out and Illinois would have to lose.
You're telling me Northwestern's going to go into Michigan State and win on Wednesday? I don't know if I buy that.
They just lost last night, right?
To exactly. Iowa. Yeah, they did. So, like, everybody, seriously, we're fucking worried about Northwestern? Come on.
I don't think they're worried about it. He's just stating a fact.
No.
Steve has Illinois 94, Purdue 83. Eric has Illinois 84, Purdue 80. Bootsilla, thanks for coming out. Eric, thanks for coming out. Bootsilla, thanks for the happy birthday. We're still a few days away from it, but. We appreciate you guys. If you guys want, we're going to be live on Ethan's YouTube. It is, what's your YouTube called?
I'll post it in the chat here.
Yeah, we'll post it in the chat. We're going to be live here in probably the next 5-10 minutes talking March Madness and all that stuff. So if you guys want to come over to that here in a little bit. We'll be on that. So Nicholas has Purdue 84, Illinois 76. I don't know
if he's
a Purdue fan or not, but that's the first. If he's an Illinois fan, that's the first loss we've ever had in the comment section. Bootzilla, I'm just making the point to Ethan, not worried about them. We know. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate you guys. We'll be on Ethan's channel shortly. So, and yep. We'll see you Tuesday.
Yep, Tuesday night, Peacock. I'm sure the stream's not going to be behind by 20 minutes. That'll be great.
Carl, don't come by and ruin everything.
Yep, thank you. All right, we'll see everybody then. Bye.